Welcome in, everyone, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James Haskell and, of course, DK in the back running the show. And we are in the heels of a dominant Ravens win 23-7 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, I got to say, Jimbo, this defense, that one play aside, 65-yard touchdown, that one play aside was absolutely dominant tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I can't can you see me okay? Sorry.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it looks like your ET finger in the screen, but other than that, yeah, we got you.
Hold on. Okay, here we go. I'm just trying to...
First of all, explain to the people what's going on
sorry.
Right now.
So if any of you guys live in the 3100 block on Fate, there's no power currently. So I am no power in my house. I'm running off my phone. And this is about as good as it gets, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in my basement. Where I normally have my green screen, the whole setup set up. But look, we're here for you. We just shook the house and lit it up so much that the Ravens, you know, were dominating this game that we decided to blow a couple fuses.
That's
but,
it.
But yeah, absolutely a dominating performance by the Ravens as a whole, but certainly the defense. And Glenn, shout out to you for calling out the defensive breakout player of the game. Kyle Hamilton was everywhere. Is he not the most unique defensive player in the league right now? Like the most versatile, unique, impactful, like, man, the guy is just all over the field. Holy crap. Yeah.
He's an alien out there. You know, there's those freaking natures. There's a lot of them in sports, certainly in football. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely one of them. I mean, his length, the ability to keep blockers off of him because of how long his arms are, not just how long they are, but how explosive he is with his hands. He shocks guys when he puts his hands on them. And his ability to tackle, his instincts. I mean, the guy has just been absolutely phenomenal. He's better than I think a lot of people thought he could be, especially when we saw some early miscues in one-on-ones as a rookie. Everybody was ready to throw him out. And yeah, man, this guy is definitely all pro, in my opinion, this year at safety. No doubt about it.
And I'll tell you what, man, the basketball instincts, certainly his young days, rec basketball coach is out there proud as can be because he's always got his hands up in them passing lanes, boy. Let me tell you what. If he doesn't get his hand up, Calvin Ridley makes that clear touchdown,
can the ref stop? Is he still campaigning for the touchdown? What are we doing? This guy, Terry McCauley, is losing his mind. I'm going to play it again, guys. Can we get... I'm glad this goofball is in the booth because, I mean, clearly he cannot admit when he's wrong because I'm like, what is this guy looking at, dude? His tuchus is on the
on the light. I was gonna say, half of his butt is down. Like, you know what I mean? One cheek is on the ground.
Like, dude, give it a rest. My God, this guy's like a politician. He just wouldn't give it a rest.
No, not at all. I couldn't agree with you more. Really quick before we get to this, though, I also got to say, because they're talking about in the chat, Keaton Mitchell, man, that was a tough one to see. Keaton Mitchell. And we'll hope for a speedy recovery for him. And hopefully it's not as bad as all you can do is hope. But more than anything, we just hope for the best for Keaton Mitchell and that the Ravens can absorb this and move on, man, because he was just coming on as a playmaker.
So explosive, looking so good in that game, getting the edge. I think the only thing we can hope for is that there wasn't like a torn quad because that's what we saw a lot when JK had the hyperextension. We saw a lot more than just a hyperextended knee, but we have seen, I mean, I remember back when Giannis hyperextended his knee in the finals and luckily it was only a hyperextension of the knee and he was able to come back. So fingers crossed, but I kind of got to wait and see what John has to say.
But whoever put in the super chat before, DK is going to get back to you. We're just putting this one up because it's relevant to our conversation. We're win boys. Yes, I'm definitely happy about it, but I'm sad about Mitchell. Kid's deaf dumb for the year. Yeah, we'll see, Sean. That was an interesting one. They didn't want to play the replay because it's kind of a nasty looking one.
Well, if you saw the still shots that are floating around, oof, not good.
It's a hyperextension that it went in, like it went.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
Yeah.
Hyperextension.
Jeez Louise. Well, we'll hope for the best for him. And then the other thing, too, somebody put in the chat, the Ravens clinch, baby.
Yes, sir. They are playoff bound. Now, they didn't clinch the North. They didn't clinch
the
one
seed.
But we're
in the playoffs, baby.
But they're in the dance, and you never know what happens. And I think Manny brings up a good point here. He says Keaton injury sucks, but Hill looked explosive in his limited role. Collinsworth, MVP Defense for Lamar was awesome. Yeah, I thought Justice Hill, I mean, really all year outside of the issues with putting the ball on the ground and kind of the mesh point issues with him and Lamar, Justice Hill's been good all year. Now he's not what Keaton Mitchell's been giving us, 4.2 speed with the ability to run through arm tackles and keep his balance and all that stuff. But I'm happy with still knowing we have Gus and Hill in the backfield for sure.
I agree, and I think that he can get the job done, right? We're not now scraping at the bottom of the barrel. Look, let's be honest. He is probably Munkin, right? Yeah, Munkin's favorite back in the stable.
As a pass blocker, he certainly is. That's for sure.
He likes himself some Justice Hill. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure he's got confidence in him, and we'll have confidence in him moving forward. So, shout out to the Ravens for clinching. Big Fesh says, Big W, let's freaking go. We need to beat Miami now so a loss to the 49ers won't kill us. Yeah, obviously.
Oh, hold on. What is this? What is this? Like it's a foregone conclusion right, here. What are we talking about here, Brad? Hold on, 19-1? What is Lamar's record against the NFC? What are we talking about here, Big Fesh? Come on, bro. I tell you, they're a good team, but come on now. Let's not count them out.
I tell you what, I know we just beat the Jags, but I'm excited to see the Shanahan matchup against McDonald, man.
Yeah, it's
going to be fun. This defense and that offense is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that one. But
yeah, that Miami game, no doubt, is huge. I mean, Miami goes out today, even with missing Tyreek Hill, who, you know, arguably outside of quarterbacks is the MVP of the league. And they go put up 30 points and beat the snot out of the Jets. So yeah, they're a real deal team. Their defense is getting better and better every week. So we better bring it. But look, let's get back
to
this game.
And look, the Bills are surging though too.
Oh yeah, the Bills are surging. Got to give them credit. They're playing well.
Miami.
Yeah, that's true. There's a big game down the stretch. Absolutely.
Yeah, anyway,
but I gotta ask you a question, Jimbo. We saw some heroic plays today, a lot by number eight, but one big play was Isaiah Likely going up between two guys, pulling down the rock. He goes 5 for 70 yards, gets in the end zone again this week, Jimbo. My question to you is, Mark Andrews who?
Oh, don't you dare.
I'm doing it.
Don't you dare.
I'm doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Glenn's being sarcastic.
Seriously though.
Oh my gosh.
He's been absolutely phenomenal.
He's just found his confidence. I think with the reps comes the confidence, right? Because he's out there doing it. We've always felt like he can do it, but the confidence is coming in the reps. And look, shout out to him because we've known that Lamar, he's not warm to you, you ain't getting the ball.
Yeah.
And so he's got to have some confidence in him. It's exciting to see their connection continue to emerge. It was funny when I thought of that, when I saw that play. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the thing that since I it's probably been 10 years now, maybe more, maybe like 15, that Glenn's been begging that the Ravens get a guy that can high point the ball. Hmm. I mean, how many years, I don't know how many consecutive years I've heard Glenn talk about high pointing the football.
Yep.
And look, was that not a perfect example?
Perfect. He's bigger than them.
Yeah, so go get it while it's higher. Yeah, absolutely. And man, did he... That was a perfect example of that. I'm so excited to see him coming on. And look, Kohler got in a little bit, got some action.
Dude. And the way those guys were used, you know, especially Kohler, is exactly how we imagine it in the red zone.
Yeah.
I mean, they were crucial, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you remember, first of all, that penalty on John Simpson when we had second and goal at the inch line right before the half and it pushed us back to the 16. Now, luckily.
Yeah.
He puts that ball right on the button to Isaiah Likely. We get the touchdown. I didn't like the call. I mean, I think it was a silly move, but he didn't even headbutt him. He just walked up to him.
And
their heads clapped. But it's not like he just walked into him a little bit. Yeah. The guy flopped and he gave it to him.
When are we going to get a flopping? Isn't that already a thing, actually?
Well, in the NBA, it's actually being enforced this year, which is a blessing. But I think you're right. We need to bring it to the NFL.
Come on, man. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I got to ask you a question, though, Glenn.
What's up?
There was a point in time, a large portion of this game, we got McCarrie on the left and Falele on the right.
Yeah.
How concerned are you about the health of our our starting tackles?
Well, dude, going into this game, I felt so good about it. Ronnie's coming off his best game of the year. After the bye week where we were hoping he'd show like he looks like he's gotten a little healthier, he did. Had his best pass blocking game of the season. And then to me, I mean, it looked like a regression. I don't know if he had a head injury. You saw the helmet-to-helmet clash where he was put in the tent. I hope that he's going to be ready for next week. But, man, it's a shame that he's in and out. But thank goodness for Patrick McCary and Faalele that we even have viable options to turn to mid-game who can come in and play pretty damn well. I mean, you got to give those guys credit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. You know what I love about Patrick McCary? I don't know if you remember this play. It's a small detail, but he went down, like, the play ended on top of him. He was laying on his stomach, and the tackle was made kind of on top of him. So he waited a second to get up. He got up, and he, like, did a little – he stood there for a second. He, like – you could tell he was checking his body, like a mental, you know, check of the body. And he did a little shake out of the leg, and he just kept walking. He's like, all right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
He's like – shake it off. He just, like, let's go.
That's it.
Move on to the next, dude. I love him for that, man. He's certainly a lunch pail guy. But it does make me a little nervous moving forward. Do we know what happened with Morgan Moses? I didn't hear anything, but I was a little behind, so I was trying to catch up. But by that point, I was live, and I still didn't hear anything.
Well, I will say this. I saw Cole Jackson tweeting about he thinks it's an upper body injury. He said he wasn't extending his arms at all.
Okay.
And that's just obviously not like any offensive tackle to not do it. So but that's just him looking at it and trying to make a guess. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what that ends up being. That guy's super resilient. I wouldn't count him out until I see it for sure. DK did put in the chat here. It looks like Keaton Mitchell's injury is believed to be season ending. So they're going to have to finish this one up. There it is. We're going to have to finish this one up without him. But yeah, shout out to Keaton. He'll be back next year stronger than ever. I'm sure. I'm confident in it. And he's still a young guy. But yeah, it's going to be an injury. They're certainly going to, miss that guy down the stretch and his explosiveness. No doubt.
I tell you what, man, I feel his pain. I hope that he can get back and like you said, be stronger than he was, this year. Steve Kinnegopoulos says, concerned with our D-line against the run, ? They seem weak. If Jags edge rushers did this to us, 49ers are going to be tough for our beaten O-line. Which line are you more concerned with, the offensive or the defensive line? I mean, right now I'm certainly much more concerned with the offensive line because, you know, neither of our starting tackles are out there. I think from a D-line perspective, I mean, I understand your point, but it's funny to me. I feel like the defensive line, they just have ups and downs. I think consistency is the thing. I don't think overall I'm concerned about them. I think we have the talent there. I think we have the skill set there. I think we have the big bodies in the middle there to get it done. Even on the outside, I mean, we've seen some moments where we can really shut down the run. This is a great defense. So I'm much more concerned about the offensive line.
100%. Yeah, got to. I mean,
dude, you know what I was thinking about really quick before we get to the next comment?
Yeah. So
I think that, in 2012, we won the Super Bowl, right? Did the whole thing, beat the Niners, whatever. At that point in time, my wife and I we didn't have two pennies to rub together. So I said, and she literally was like, dude, let's just go into stupid debt and go to the Super Bowl. And I'm like, I could never live with myself. Like, I would never be able to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, right, did you know how I am? Yeah. But, dude, at all costs, I'm going to the Super Bowl.
We're going to try everything we can. Absolutely. I think we have to know someone. Is that one of the things you got to know somebody who knows somebody to even get in?
I think we can get nosebleeds. I'm just saying. I told her. I said, look, I think she's going to be like 31 weeks pregnant. We're driving if we have to.
I tell you what, I think DK knows somebody. I got a feeling DK can get us in. Can get all of us in.
All right, DK, it's on you. Anyway, Manny says, very happy that we won. Lots of fans saying we haven't played a complete game, which early in the season is fine, but it's concerning so close to the playoffs. Defense spotted us some points. I want to speak this real quick before I allow you to, Glenn, before I pass it over to you. Not that you need my permission to. You understand what I'm saying. Point is, so it's late in the season. This is a formidable foe. Chris Collinsworth said it. The Ravens win in a number of ways, and that's what makes us dangerous. Yeah, there's some moments you can point to say this was a slow game offensively, or, you know, we didn't execute this way or that way, whatever. Sure, all that is true. But we dominated a football team that two weeks ago had looked to have the number one seed, right? Like, they were up there, and the number one seed in the AFC South, which we're not talking the NFC, we're talking the AFC. So the fact that the Ravens came out, won this game on the road this late in the season, no team is perfect right now. So look, say what you want, say what you will. The Ravens came out there and they won in a way that's different than they've won in the past, and I think that makes them dangerous. That could be me being a homer, but I'm not super concerned about the, like, not played a complete game thing at this point in the season. It's late, man. It's late in the season. Teams are banged up. You're just trying to get out there and get W's.
I think it's well said, Jimbo. I like that this team doesn't have just one way they can win.
Yep.
They can win a shootout. They can win a low-scoring game. They can win riding their run attack. They can win throwing the ball. I mean, they can really win a bunch of different ways. So it might not look the same, but it doesn't mean it's not necessarily complete. What's up?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you have stats in front of you right now, Glenn?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'd be interested to know how many receptions did we even have from a wide receiver perspective? I mean, it has to be under double digits, right? Or right around there.
Well, Bateman had 3 out of his 6 targets, and Odell Beckham had 1, and Zay Flowers had 1. That's it.
And we still won by double digits.
Yeah.
That's so impressive to me to be able to do that, knowing that your all-pro tight end went down, and then your second tight end comes in. I'm guessing he led the team in receptions, or he had, what, 4?
Isaiah?
Yeah.
He had 5, yeah.
He had 5. Like you said, I think 70 or whatever and a touchdown. So, man, I think the versatility of this team is just exciting. I'm not concerned. I'm excited by it.
Yeah, I mean, if I told you that Odell Beckham and Zay Flowers would combine for 2 catches for 21 yards, but yet we'd smash the Jaguars, I think you'd be like, I'll take that. I'll be happy with that. So, yeah, I like the fact that we can win in a lot of different ways. And you know what? Rashad Bateman – He's gaining the most separation of any wide receiver in football. We saw some more of that today. And I just think he's this close. I've been saying it for weeks,
right?
Jimbo. He's so close to just exploding for a monster game. I thought this was the one, the way it started. I was like, this is his game. It's a shame he couldn't, you know, kind of keep it going in the second half. But also, I want to give a quick shout to Lamar Jackson's rushing totals. 97 yards, comes up three yards shy of 100, and picked up big first down after big first down in that game, escaping a pretty damn good pass rush considering the fact they came in, I think, the 30th ranked as far as sacks, and it was really Josh Allen and a bunch of guys. Trayvon Walker looked like he was out there getting busy. Of course, Josh Allen was doing his thing.
Does he not look like the Predator with the shape of the helmet and the visor? Dude. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, the shape of the helmet it's scary, dude.
He is absolutely. Those boys came to play today, man. You got to give those guys credit on the other side, too. They were out there playing their ass off, giving Lamar Jackson some headaches. He was giving it back to him for sure.
Now, 2 game management questions before we get to Marcus Orr here. Yeah. Why on earth did they try and run that play? Like, I'm okay with it. The Jags tried to run that play and they end up not getting out of bounds.
Greed.
I didn't understand that.
Greed.
So stupid, right? And then
simple greed.
But the other one, what happened with the miscommunication with Tucker came out on that 4th down and then Lamar? Okay, I was trying to figure that whole thing out. And then,
yeah, the only thing that was weird to me is that to me, it looked like a classic case of we're trying to draw them off sides and then we'll just punt if we don't. But the frustration Lamar showed told me
that's what had me super
otherwise,
confused,
right? Yeah. No, I'm with you. I was like, were we actually considering trying to go for this? Cause that just looked like a draw them off. If they don't, we'll punt it. So yeah, I don't know, Jimbo. Hopefully somebody will ask one of those guys in post game or tomorrow, but Marcus says Stout deserves a little love, gave the defense great field position all night. Solid win tonight. Yeah. And not only that, he went down and covered his own kick one time and gave the guy a little one time.
Oh, he got a little
He did. But he's a big dude. I think you remember his measurables. He's a big boy. But yeah, I thought he punted the ball well. Consistently won the field position battle tonight. Early on, offense wasn't able to take advantage of it. We got the ball at the 40, the 45, and we were stalling. But finally, ultimately, field position battle certainly paid off because we saw the Jaguars were able to move the ball but weren't able to finish in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And kind of the Ravens were able to get that done. So, yeah, shout out to Stout.
Mm-hmm. Travis says the truth. Says, what do you think about letting our first stringers sit next week to give them a break since already in playoffs?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no, we want the number one seed. For sure, my man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still too competitive at the top. We can't count the Chiefs out. They're right there. The Miami Dolphins bounced back after a tough week last week. They're right there, and we got to play them. I want the number one overall seed. Get that first round bye. Let them rest then.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I'm not building in any excuses for the Ravens. I just want to say this. JK goes down early in the year. Mark Andrews has gone down. Our tackles are struggling. Our Duvernay goes down. Like, it is a credit to the Ravens that we are the number one team in the AFC. And you know what? Add that to the reason – all the other reasons that Collinsworth gave as to why Lamar Jackson is the MVP of this league. Because guys are just falling around him. Still, mm-hmm. Along with his teammates. I'm not saying he's doing it by himself. We are still getting it done. It's really awesome to see, because I think injuries like this would have a lot of other teams would have folded. But man, I tell you what, he's Atlas right now, dude. Just now, he's got a supporting cast around him. I don't.
But at times he does look like it. You're right.
Yeah,
at times
it's wild.
He certainly does. Massey says, love Lamar, love Metabike, love Harbs, love Hamilton, love everyone. Sorry for Mitchell. What you think of Kohler? Great catch. So many targets to feed. Yeah, it was a great catch. He's a big boy. Yeah.
Great throw on the throw. It was a laser, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love that they're showing confidence in the guy, because that just tells me that when the time is big, they have options, and they're not only going to be pigeonholed into going after one or two guys. They'll feel confident going to any of these guys, and that's the balance that Monken's been talking about since he got here.
And that's what he needs. You can tell Monken really thrives when, at least in my opinion, when it's an offense that is not a, okay, here's my, not that he doesn't in this scenario, but, you know, having a one.
It's not then, Keenan Allen, where he gets every target.
Exactly, right? Like, he's absolutely thriving and taking advantage of every single matchup that he can, and he's playing chess out there, man, as an OC. It's a lot of fun to watch. So, let's keep the positivity going, baby.
Oh, shout out to Frenchie.
Yes. Yeah, France. It's not a 34-3 victory, but it's a solid dub. See y'all in a week, 49ers, baby. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. 19-1, baby.
Yeah.
About to be 20-1.
Yeah. I'm expecting to see them again in the Super Bowl, so whatever happens in this game, I just want to learn.
Okay.
Slap around the course. Because
I want to win and learn.
Yeah, I do too. But I'm just saying, I'm ready to see them. Yeah, I'm excited when the lights are bright. We'll see how old Shanahan does in the.
Yeah, we know what happens when he gets in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Manny says, Manny says, I'm glad we have depth and don't need to sign Kenyon off the couch this year. Well, hasn't he been on like three? Wasn't he on our team?
The Browns.
He fumbled for us, and then he went to the Browns, and he went to the Packers. So, I think that ship might have sailed after he said something about, yo, trap. Trap, is that what he said? Something protect your trap. I'm not cool enough to say all those things. Yeah. I think that ship has sailed. Yeah, I hear you, Manny. It's nice to see. It's nice. Think about this, Glenn. This was the scenario 12 calendar months ago. How much confidence would you have in Justice Hill in comparison to now? We have so much more confidence in him moving forward that it's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, and Gus looks like he's getting back, you know, more and more each day. And luckily, I saw that helmet-to-helmet clash. I was a little worried because he had those issues with the concussion earlier. Luckily, no issues there. He's too hard-headed.
No, he's got his answers memorized, dude.
Exactly.
He has him in his sleep, I'm telling you.
Asmodeus says, Mick Chickens. Also, I'm really looking forward to next week's game. It's going to be a real slobber knocker. Yeah, we'll see if they can handle the physicality of the AFC North. That's one thing the Jaguars got to see first thing, right on the opening kickoff. Mollett goes down there, gives them a shot right in the opening kickoff, lets you know this is AFC North football. We're bringing it to the West Coast next weekend, and I think the Ravens are going to give all of us fans a night Christmas present.
Glenn. I like it. It'd be hard for me to disagree with you. I figured out how Gus passes the protocol all the time while you were talking. You want to know?
How's he do it?
Dude, he just turned it into a rap verse.
And then he can memorize it?
Exactly. So every time he gets asked, he just starts rapping.
There we go. At least he doesn't lose his memory when he gets his bell rung. That can happen.
Yeah, it's true.
It can happen.
Oh, Gusto's in the blue tent just dropping bars.
I believe it. Manny says, this D deserves its own super chat.
Hey-o.
Dominant. Dude. This defense will keep us competitive in every game. Marlon had a great – I'm so glad you brought him up, Manny, because you're right. Marlon was getting criticized last game. Everybody was saying, has he lost it?
Right.
Even though he was getting beat by some pretty damn special receivers and some throws that were unbelievable by Matthew Stafford, this guy comes back, bounces back in a huge way, plays super physical, frustrates, I think, Calvin Ridley all night. And I think Calvin Ridley was hearing those stomps coming. That's why a couple of them balls went through his hands. I was impressed with Marlon Humphrey, and I have no problems. I'm very confident in going into the playoffs with Marlon Humphrey as our CB1.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody asked John Harbaugh about this, and he answered really simply. He said, Marlon Humphrey is the least of my concerns.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's how we should all feel as well. So, yeah, it was nice to see him bounce back, get the physicality, get the little pep in his step. I feel like this game, he looked healthier than the last game, just from a straight-up health, like, explosion perspective or point of view. I think that part of his game was back, really, you know, was popping some guys, and that's Marlon. Like, that's what we expect to see. That sounds exciting.
And look, I want to give a little credit to Marcus Williams because look, I know he didn't play in the second half, had the injury. We'll hope that his groin heals up and he can play next week. But he made that huge tackle right before the half, kept him in bounds, and ran that clock out when who knows what could have happened there. You don't know how the momentum changes if they go in and get seven or even if they just get three. It was a huge momentum shift for him to make that tackle inbounds. So I got to give that guy a little bit of credit. Sean. Yeah. Happy birthday. Absolutely happy birthday to the OG, the legend that is Sean Pisker. He says, also, side note, tomorrow's my birthday. Glad the Ravens gave me a win for my birthday. Yeah. It was a damper on the day tomorrow, but now you get to sit in all the glory of knowing not only are you 1 year older, but the Ravens are sitting alone at the top of the AFC.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Sean. And hope you have a good one and you enjoy it, man.
Yeah, buddy.
C says, oh, go ahead.
All right, shout out to Don. Appreciate the super chat. He says, what a win, guys. Well, not the most exciting game. It was a game we had to win. Prayers out to Keaton. Not as ugly as the Musa Smith leg break, but ugly, man. I mean, yeah, it wasn't quite as bad as Nick Chubb, but it was rivaling that angle.
I'm not even going to go back and look at it. I thought about going back and looking. I was like, you know what? Shout out to Don C. Thanks for being up late with us. 552 people out here, dude. Shout out to all you guys. Man.
Hit the like button. Send us out to some more Ravens fans. It helps the algorithm. Takes 2 seconds. Completely free.
That's right.
We'd certainly appreciate it. Tone says, playoff bound, baby. Shout out to everyone who had us missing the playoffs. We get this Christmas win. We get this win Christmas night. Give Lamar the MVP ASAP. Honestly, Jimbo, do you expect the game next week to in some ways decide the MVP race? When you look at the leaders, I think tomorrow morning are going to be Brock Purdy and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing, though. Yeah, absolutely. So I absolutely agree with you. But you remember when I remember calling you and I was like, Jack, after a Seahawks win, what do we do to the Seahawks? And Dak's getting all slumped for MVP this and that. Look, he plays the AFC opponent. What happens?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they got absolutely embarrassed. They did.
So you're right. And so you're right. Remember, Glenn, I said it on Friday. We are the litmus test.
We're the bar, baby.
That's right. So we'll see how Purdy does. We'll see how Purdy does.
If we go all the way across the country and beat them boys on Christmas night, holy, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it would be spectacular. Dr. Uncle Bob, what's up, man? Two things. I'm digging Basement Jimbo. The power's still out, man. This is the best I got. Shane said, how about my boy PQ, though? Yeah, look. PQ, man. I tell you what, dude. I'm starting to get nervous. We can't afford PQ nor Meta BK, dude. I don't know what kind of money Meta BK is about to get, but
we ain't affording them. I know that.
No.
And Patrick Queen already over 100 tackles a couple weeks ago. Yeah. This guy, he's been amazing. My only hope is that he just loves playing in this defense next to Roquan Smith. But I think if we're all being realistic, this is the last season we're going to see both those guys in Ravens uniforms. I think for at least their next contract. Now they could circle back. You never do know, but yeah,
I think there's a chance
while we have him these years.
I think there's a chance we can hold on to Meta BK. I think there's a chance,
dude. He's gonna be. I think he's $20 million a year, dude.
Oh yeah.
I think he's 20 a year. Dude, he's just had a sack in 11 straight games, dude, as an interior defensive lineman. I mean, this is insane what we're talking about, Jimbo, what he's doing. 11 straight?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm digging Basement Jimbo, too, man. It brings a little something extra to the show. But shout out to my brother Bob, my nephew Shane. Legendary Ravens fans. Let me tell you about those two gentlemen. Legendary Ravens fans. And don't forget it. Let's see. Anthony says, great win. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Still can't believe false start was called on that one play with Allen. Huge momentum swing. Which I'm trying to.
Oh, yeah. So he's talking about the play where I agree with you 100%, Anthony, where they called a false start because Allen went early trying to. It actually wasn't Allen, though. Who's the other kid that they drafted number one overall?
Walker.
I think it was Walker, not Allen. Anthony, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was actually Walker because it was over the right tackle. And he clearly tried to time the snap, was early. He had already passed the line of scrimmage by the time Moses started reacting.
Oh, I know the play. I got
it.
And
you. I think it was pretty clear if you go back and look at it. I could be wrong, but I feel like he was clearly beyond the line of scrimmage. Therefore, you know, based on what I understand, it is, you know, not an offsides, you know, at that point. A false start on the offense. It's a defensive infraction. So I agree with you. I thought that was a pretty whack penalty as well.
Yeah, there was a couple shaky ones out there today. I mean, I didn't like the interference call on the left side. I believe that was on Brandon Stevens, if I remember correctly. Didn't like that call. I was shaky on, I don't know. Even the grounding calls, it's like, I don't know, man. He's getting clearly destroyed. The ball's going the direction of a guy. I mean, But let's see. Don C, appreciate the generosity. I tweeted to Cole Jackson, why when our quarterback is running and his forward progress is stopped, they don't blow the whistle when he's getting hit hard? Yeah, I mean.
Lamar's pissed on one of those. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like he gets protected like a lot of these other guys do. I mean, it's no surprise, but. He protects himself well, I'll say that. I appreciate him getting better and better at that every season. But, yeah, it just doesn't seem like he gets protected like a lot of these other quarterbacks do.
How crazy is it, though? I've never seen anything like Lamar in that, like, he has so many gears. He can move forward at 80% of his speed and have so much control. But then, so, like, there's this saying amongst, like, newer runners. So, usually your base pace is too fast and your race pace is too slow. Like, there should be a wider discrepancy between, like, your base pace and your race pace, right? Lamar is excellent. Like, his base pace, he's moving down the field, controlled, you know, like you said, trying to find the spot and get down. But, dude, then when he breaks it open, hits the gas, holy crap. It's almost like you forget if he has 3-4 runs and he's just kind of controlling the pace, whatever. But then when he takes off, it's forget about it. That kid has got some wheels on him, man. But, yeah, Don Jagger.
Deion said, how fast do I need to be? When they say, how fast are you? How fast the guy next to me? I'm faster than him. That's how fast.
Hey, I love it. That is awesome.
I'm as fast as I need to be. And that's how it seems like it is for Lamar. Like he just has a gear he can kind of always call on. But, yeah, let's hope that the refs continue to try and keep number 8 upright because there's a lot of quarterbacks around the league that are sitting on the sidelines, and I'm happy that ours is still under center. CJ says, this D is something special. I really think we have a good chance to shock the NFL world next week. It also helps. It's a night game. Helps with jet lag. Lamar is the MVP. I guess that's a good point. I'd rather him be playing a little bit later. I don't know. How you tell me, Jimbo, you're a traveler. Would it be more beneficial for the Ravens to be playing at 1 o'clock that day or at 8 o'clock?
Yeah. I personally take the 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Because look, 8 o'clock, you're talking about starting the game at 11:30 at night, your local time.
That's true. I didn't think
That's a long day. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Because my first few nights when we go out to LA all the time, I'm going to bed early. Still getting adjusted to the time. So I do also see, though, that gives you more time to get your legs under you. So it really depends on when the Ravens are getting in. I'm going to guess they're getting in. Man, it's kind of sucky for the Ravens. They got to travel all the way out to the West Coast. And I said it before, Bashadi, if you hear me, you guys should put the whole families up. Send all the gifts out there. Send Santa out there. Send everyone out there. Make sure the family's got a good chance.
Keep them in a bubble. No distractions. No children. No Santa Claus.
You sound like Goofy. Did we watch too much Mickey Saves Christmas? Oh, Santa Claus!
I'm gonna play the version of the heartless fan. Put him in a hotel. No FaceTiming with the kids. It's football.
Oh, business. But dude, the thing is that you know that most likely John's gonna fly those guys out probably by noon on the 24th, and they're not getting home.
26. Wow, you think they'll go home? They'll go Sunday, not Saturday. It's a Monday night game.
Right. But that's what they did the Chargers game. That was a night game, right?
It was Sunday night, and they went up when? Saturday?
Didn't they go Saturday as well?
I think they did, yeah. I just wonder if they go Saturday or if they go Sunday. Probably because of the holiday. They probably don't leave till Sunday. Yeah. That way, at least you can wake up Christmas game at home. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I mean is noon on the 24th, they're out the door.
Yeah.
Coming home till the 26th.
Right.
So yeah. I'm just my only point is that it does give you, so to CJ Lavender's point, gives him a little more time. I would prefer to have the earlier game. I think it's at a severe disadvantage to be playing that late and you don't have time to adjust your internal clock. That's just a late game, man. You know what I mean? Like that means that, you know, 2 hours in the game, it's 1:30 a.m. for you.
One thing will be certain, Roquan will be ready to play. He'll be ready to play in the parking lot.
And Lamar Jackson doesn't strike me as a guy that like goes to bed early.
No. Yeah, that's a good point. And really, it's probably a generational thing. A lot of these guys are younger, and I think a lot of them prior are night owls, stay up a little bit. So, and the bright lights will keep the adrenaline going. Hopefully, keep their energy level super high. But yeah, the defense is certainly special. CJ, you're 100% right about that. Those guys are flying around. They should have shut this team out. I mean, let's call it what it was. They got lucky on a blown coverage. One of the very few times we've seen a blown coverage by this defense all season. Outside of that, the Jaguars were completely ineffective. And while they may have moved the ball at times in between, the 30 to the, what's up, dude?
It's 8:20 game Eastern.
Huh?
It's a 5:20 game there. It's still 8:20 game Eastern. My math was all wrong.
Dude, this whole thing, did somebody help us out in the chat or did you?
Yes. Thank you so much. Duh. So
it's late, guys. I'm going to give Jimmy a pass.
It is. And yes, it is late. But yes, CJ, then I would agree with you. It's nice to have the little extra 3 hours that you create because you're able to time travel. Flying is just time travel.
Yeah. I'm going to blame you on that one, Jimbo.
Yeah. But you were following me, though. You get what I'm saying. Sean Fisker says, I also love the Lamar play. Smoot looks at Lamar and says, "How, dude, that play was awesome. That was so awesome. It just, but look, you said it though, Glenn. That play doesn't happen without an incredible catch from Isaiah Likely. Holy heck.
Yeah, and that's the frustration, though. Those defensive ends have got to be like, man, do I really want to bust my ass and tear up the field again knowing that this guy's probably going to squirm away and somehow find a receiver down the line or take off himself and get the first down? It's got to be just head-scratching, frustrating. Defensive coordinators got to just be like, God, what do I got to do to get this damn offense off the field when Lamar Jackson's got the ball in his hands? It's it was hilarious. I love that they caught that moment on camera.
I couldn't agree more. Let's see what else we got. 25 Nuggets says, just franchise Madubuike and negotiate. Yeah, look, at the very least, we're probably going to have Madubuike for another year. Let's be honest. He's getting the franchise tag.
But what's that number when you consider how much – Aaron Donald brings that number up. Dude,
yeah.
It's ridiculous, man. I think it's still going to be around 20.
Yeah, but Eric ain't letting him walk out the door. We're gonna squeeze everything we can out of that.
Because he's just hitting his prime, dude. Like, is there any reason to not expect him to have 15 next year? I don't expect him to get worse next year. He's really going into his physical prime. His prime as an NFL player. I mean, that guy, he's going to be really good for quite some time.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, man. But I agree with 25 Nuggets. He ain't going anywhere getting that tag.
Mm-mm-mm. And Justin Tucker continues to be 90% or above all time. Continues to set that that standard, as just like the Ravens have been doing all season. Set the standard.
That's right.
DK is ripped. I mean, holy smokes. It's unbelievable.
Dude, we've got to put this on a shirt.
He said, one drink. I had one drink.
Dude, we got to put a picture of DK's face.
It was this big. What he doesn't want to tell you, he had one drink, but it was this big. It was the size of his torso.
Dude, that's this wide. So in the episode of Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson goes to the doctor, and they're like, so how many drinks of alcohol do you have a week? And he's like, one. And they're like, one? And he's like, one shelf.
That's right.
One shelf. That's right. DK just consumed a whole. Yeah, that's right. Just one. Like, there's a whole boot, right, Glenn? There's just multiple liters, but one drink, technically.
That's it. And, hey, I want to give a little extra credit just because Trevor Lawrence fumbling the ball twice was such a difference in the game. But
yeah,
how about the one? I mean, what happened on the one, Jimbo, where he's just running and he just what happened?
I have no idea, to be completely honest. I thought at first take, I thought he was trying to switch hands to protect himself.
Yeah.
To protect the ball, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it just bloop. But the other one, who was it that sat? Oh, that was Matt Abike on that play. Yeah. He literally pulled him to the ground so hard that he lost the football. That's how it happened.
Yeah.
Insane to me. The dude.
That first fumble was so silly, though.
He's so goofy. Ah! That's like something that happens when you're playing football in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very young child. Not a grown man being paid a lot of money.
I tell you what, if they show another clip of him sitting on the sideline going like this.
Oh, yes. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Dude, holy crap, man.
You know, I mean, this guy, Sunshine. That's why they call him Sunshine.
Sunshine. Yeah, man.
But I think to hold this offense, I'm not going to talk about the ankle because I didn't see any signs that the ankle was any bit of a problem. So this is a healthy offense, in my opinion, and to hold this team to seven and really one busted play is the only reason they scored. Defense was phenomenal. Offense had its struggles, sure, but that defense for the Jaguars, they came out ready to freaking play. And so I'm going to I'll take this win. I'm thrilled about it. 11-3 alone at the top of the AFC. Let's see what happens next week. But look, I think that's it for us tonight. But this was a heck of a win. I appreciate everyone who came out there and joined us and watched our show. Stayed up late with us after the midnight, burning the midnight oil, right? Isn't that what they say, Jimbo?
The old oil.
You know all the old sayings.
Burn the midnight oil, baby. That's right. But the other thing I wanted to say is we did not forget about our competition. It's just simply late. So we will get to it on Tuesday so that way we can get a little bit more sleep and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for tomorrow, baby. But look, like Glenn said, that's it for us tonight. We are so glad you guys came out. Dude, we were deep in here tonight. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate all your support. As always, make sure you chime in on Tuesday. We'll have Cole Jackson with us to break it all down from an offensive line perspective. I think it's going to be important. Amongst other things, but make sure you go check us out. We'll see you on Tuesday. But that's it for us. We'll talk to you soon.
See you.